Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. Set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, there's nothing more that I like better than a little bit of black magic, and that is what we got today in spades. I am so happy. I loved this episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, probably because there's no vampires to slay, which is like kind of going to be interesting to see if like my episodes are going to be stuff that have nothing to do with vampires, but Loved this episode, and I'm really excited to talk it out with you today.
Yeah, so this is Witch, which obviously with the title of Witch, we're kind of assuming we're going into this episode with witches. This is the one that felt to me, obviously, because the first two episodes were kind of like a two-parter situation, so it's like a big premiere episode. This one was where I felt like, okay, we're in the Monster of the Week formula, which isn't a bad thing. I want to like very clearly outline that. I have a lot of nostalgia for a Monster of the Week sort of situation. And I know this came out first, but I first experienced Smallville, which was like a Superman TV show, right? And it's like very much formulaic for the first couple of seasons, at least, where it's Monster of the Week. Every week there's like some other mutant that Superman has to fight, you know, Clark Kent has to fight. And so this, and he goes to high school. So it's like a very similar situation where it's like, okay, we're going to have a monster. Buffy's going to have to defeat them. This week it's a witch. And I loved the twists and turns. Like, I don't know about you, Sarah, but this whole episode, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, this is the witch. And oh, wait a minute. No, her mom's the witch. I did not guess the body swap, though. That was wild.
I had such an inkling at one moment, but it was a fleeting thought that I quickly forgot because there's so much going on. But it was very satisfying to get the body swap situation, and yeah, it was very satisfying. Well, I know, like, you know, we're not trying to do any witch hunts here. We're really not from Salem, but it was fun trying to figure out who the witch was. And going into this, for whatever reason, I was like so determined that it was somehow going to be Willow, because like I was like,
you're like, yes, my girl Willow is a witch. That's how she hacks.
That's the only thing that I know. Hacker witch. And I was just like, I know it's going to be her. Then like, why? What's her motivation with the cheerleading stuff? Like, I didn't like really understand, like, for the first 20 minutes, like how I was going to slot Willow into this, but had nothing to do with Willow. Willow just knew how to hack. That's the only thing that she knows how to do at this moment. Very smart cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. Willow coming in. I mean, honestly, this is also the reason I really liked this episode as well, was because it felt like the first time where, like, we had Xander, Willow, and Buffy all kind of working together. Obviously, Giles is there too. Like, all working together to defeat something, where it felt like a little bit more, because Buffy gets taken out in a sense, like halfway through, it does feel a bit more even as to like, okay, Buffy is the Slayer. She's going to stomp everyone. And what is everyone else doing? No. In this episode, like, she needed their help. And I also thought it was really fun to introduce a character and then have us and have her be like the sweetest, nicest human, and then have us question, like, oh wait, is she actually bad? Like, when she walks into the house and is like, ugh, you watched TV all day, I'm like, oh shit, she bad. You know?
I know, you can't trust the nice ones, to be honest with you. They're all devils. I mean, like, that was the witchiest house that's ever existed, so I'm not surprised. But
yeah, fact that we got an actual cauldron with like the limest of green neon color.
Yes.
So fun.
It was a lot of fun. Like, I really, really, really enjoyed this episode. Excited to get into it with you. And I think that, I don't know, it was just fun, because I think that the cheerleading element of it really brought in like this teenage, there's like teenage stakes, you know, like, and not the stake that you use to like slay a vampire with. Like, it's just like, I need to make the cheerleading squad. This is really important to me. And yeah. I love like I was a Sabrina the Teenage Witch fan, which is kind of like something that we got mentioned in here. And that was the kind of thing that I loved in Sabrina, where it was like, I'm a witch, but I'm still a teenager and I still have teenage wants. So like the thought of this like teenager, like, really wanting to make the cheerleading squad, because her mom was like a great cheerleader and like she potentially is casting spells on other cheerleaders. Like, that is a lot of fun. That's like the sort of like teenage practical magic stuff that I'm personally really into when it comes to witches. And you and I have talked a little bit about like how like we're not that into like horror, like I'm not that into sci-fi or fantasy, but I've always loved a witch. Like, I've been I watched Charmed, I watched Sabrina, as I mentioned. I was obviously a fan of Harry Potter, as like most millennials.
And Practical Magic, was the one with the craft. The Craft, thank you.
Yeah, so like I always loved a witch, so I don't think it's surprising that out of the three, like, this episode really excited me, especially because it's like the type of magic that they were doing. So I think that we need to just like jump right in, because there's so much to talk about in this little episode. And once again, no vampires this episode. We are done with vampires.
And it was fine. It was fine, honestly. Like, I was okay without having vampires this episode, especially because the way we start the episode is by Giles like chastising Buffy for joining a quote unquote cult. And that's before we see Buffy. And then we see her and she's in her little cheerleading outfit. And I full on laughed. Like, the fact that I love Giles calling cheerleading a cult and Buffy kind of snapping back like, no, I need to do this. Like, I need to be a normal teenager sometimes. This is exactly what the show needed.
Yeah, I do agree. Like, okay, so I love Greek life, and it's fully a cult. Now, also, high school sports is kind of a cult. I fully got hazed in volleyball. Like, you're not supposed to get hazed in volleyball, but like,
you're not supposed to get hazed at all.
Well, I mean, a little hazing is fine, to be honest with you. It gives you character. So I like fully got hazed when I was a freshman in volleyball. So it's all like pretty much a cult. Yeah, of course it is. And the cheerleaders, they could be a cult too. So Buffy wants to try out for the cheerleading squad. We learned that she was previously a cheerleader at her old school before she got into the whole vampire slang.
Yeah, as thing. Her mom says, like, before you got into trouble. I think it's a great idea for you to go back to cheerleading, because maybe you won't get into trouble so much.
Maybe, just maybe. So, no. And Giles is like repulsed by this. And it was a very funny gag to see Giles so disgusted by this. And yeah. Buffy is just a delight. Like, honestly, like, I love this character. She is really fun. She's like Cher Horowitz, but she kicks ass. And I love that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's something really fun about the obviously the whole conceit of the show of Buffy being the one who's kicking ass. And I love that we get like a tiny little teaser of what's to come, because we see the like witch's brew, like, you know, her brew in the cauldron. We see her like yank a Barbie off a line. Like, obviously this is like using some dolls for her magic, so that was really fun. I loved getting like a sneak peek of what's going on without actually knowing who the witch is at this point, you know.
Yeah, because at this point, it's just like, what is all this like witchy activity? And once again, because of the spoiler that I know that now I'm not even confident in it. Now I just think maybe I made the whole thing up. But I really did think it was like Willow. And I was like, oh, like, this is just like what Listen, Willow does.
We don't know. There's plenty of seasons for Buff or for Willow to get powers. You know, sure. There's so many seasons where she could get powers. I don't put it past the show at all to give her powers.
Okay, maybe it's like. Like a season four thing, and I'm assuming is a season one thing. But we are in cheerleading tryouts, which like anybody can go in and watch, which I kind of find weird. But
yeah, because Xander's just like ogling at everyone and how like stretchy they all are. And it's like, all right, do we need this guy in here doing this?
I think that we should kick Xander out. Xander should not have the ability to ogle the girl that can do the full splits. Like, I think that we need privacy here. Yeah. Unless he's auditioning, because there's like a whole crop of teenage boys watching the cheerleading tryouts. Yeah. This is like so bizarre. Now, what we also have is Xander breaking DBK's golden rule.
Oh my god. And randomly
gives Buffy a silver bracelet from the Things Remembered, essentially. And it says, what does it say?
Yours always. This is so cringy and embarrassing. Here's the thing. You should not give someone jewelry that has an inscription like yours only, unless you are dating. You haven't even asked this woman out on a date yet, and you gave her yours only jewelry?
I will say, Xander, you are not now, nor have you ever been, nor will you ever probably will be Buffy's.
It's just, listen, I think they'll kiss at some point. That's where I'm going to say. I think they'll kiss at some point.
A pity kiss at this point.
Probably. It's going to be like very much like a George and Meredith from Grey's Anatomy type situation for all the Grey's people out there, I think. But the thing is it's so embarrassing, especially Sarah. I think what makes it worse is he does this like very much out in the open. Like, I don't know why. I feel like this should be a private moment if you're going to go for it, you know?
Don't go for it. Just don't go for it. Yeah, they said that was his only option of what it said. Now, if you are trying to give somebody a piece of jewelry and that's the only option in that style, get her a keychain.
Yeah, get her something else.
Like, maybe this is like so a pair of lucky socks or like a scrunchie, just like not a silver bracelet that says yours always. That's like the opposite of what you should get.
Oh, it's so embarrassing. But this is also the scene where, so of course, who's surprised that Cordelia's trying out? No one. But we also meet Amy, and Amy is trying out for cheerleader. Like, it's we get like not great signs from the minute we meet her. And I'm not saying not great signs about Amy. I'm saying not great signs about her mom, because like Willow comments on Amy's weight, which in 2024, we do not do. We just don't comment on people's weight, no matter if they're skinny or fat or otherwise. Don't say anything about someone's weight. But she says, oh, you look like you've lost weight. And Amy says, oh, I had to, which mm-hmm. was immediately like red flag to me of like, mm-hmm. why are you being forced to lose weight? Like, what's the deal?
Yeah, it sounds like she has an almond mom, and we soon realize that she's forced to practice like 3 hours a day with her mom to try to get a cheerleader.
She says 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the evening.
So,
and
oh, I was like, 6 hours a day.
Well, how is this possible? Because like, if her high school is like most high schools, it usually starts around 7 a.m. Girl, what time are you getting up to start working out with your mom? That's way too early.
Four.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a lot of. And Buffy, we kind of start learning her relationship with her mom a little bit more, because she says like, wow, that's like a lot of quality time with your mom. Like, I like can't even get my mom to focus on me for like a second, essentially.
I feel like immediately we're like, oh, Buffy has a little bit of not like jealousy, more like envy of like, oh, uh-huh. it seems like everyone else has like a really good relationship with their mom except me. So I thought that was really interesting too, that we kind of get more of Buffy's history with her mom through, you know, mm-hmm. Amy and all of that,
as well as this episode in its entirety. So we have this like very talented cheerleading girl. Like, this is like the standout. Like, everybody knows that she's going to make the squad. She was the one that was doing the splits, and she's
doing crazy things to the point where I was like, this is a tryout. Like, this is a whole ass routine.
I mean, honestly, she probably doesn't need to try out. I don't know why they're forcing her to try out, but she's definitely going to make the team. She's really, really good. And she's doing her routine, and it's really like this like extravagant, you're right, choreographed dance routine. And then she starts smoking, and you would think like, oh, like there's like special effects where they got the fog machine going. I like the line where Willow is like, oh, she's on fire, and you're like, you think that she's like, oh, she's on fire, man. Yeah. She's on fire. No, she's literally on fire. Her hands.
Yeah, that girl's on fire. And it's this part cracked me up so much. Okay, so I will say, at first, I thought we were supposed to believe that that girl was the witch, and that like this was on purpose, you know, like the flames were like a thing. But then it's like, no, she's like literally on fire and can't stop. And so Buffy comes to the rescue, and this killed me so much, where she like pulls down like a flag or big thing of fabric, you know, from the ceiling, runs, and instead of just covering the girl's hands and putting them out, full on tackles her.
No, you have to. She is stopped.
Well, I guess the girls are stopping.
She's like snuffing out the fire. I think that Buffy did a great job. I feel bad. Buffy can't have one day off. She has to save every motherfucker in the entire school at all times. It is exhausting to be Buffy. She is now a junior firefighter. Thank God for Fire Safety by Buffy. But seriously, like, she is putting in the work.
Well, you know why though, Sarah? Because don't we remember she got kicked out of her last school for setting a fire in the gymnasium? Oh. She's like, I better put this shit out or they're going to think it's me.
Yeah, she's like, it's too close to comfort. Now, if there's so many witnesses that they see her putting out the fire and not starting it, then she's in the clear.
Hopefully.
Genius. This is genius. So Buffy is now, okay, so we have these like powwows in the library, and it's basically just vampire slaying club. This is the union here.
Yeah, this is our crew. And Buffy is basically saying like, I don't understand like what this even is, like what is going on. And Giles is saying like, oh, it's some spontaneous human combustion, like there, you know, there must be some reason for
have
it.
Have you ever heard about that, where people just like randomly catch on fire?
Yeah, but like, I always felt like that was kind of a thing like aliens, where it's like people are like, it's true or it's not true, not that it's always true. Like there's a debate about it.
Yeah, I really don't know. Like, I feel like it could be true, but what do I know?
Yeah.
And is this where Giles is like, guess what, everybody, there's witches?
Yeah, he's like, he's so excited. So Xander is like really upset, and he's like, oh great, we don't even know what caused it. And Giles is like, but that's the thrill about living on a hellmouth. Like, he's like, he says there's fiends and devils and ghouls. Like, he starts naming like everything.
I just want to live in a place where they have lemonade on the streets and it's quiet. Like, white picket fence, Dog in every yard. I don't want to live in Hellmouth. I thought that I moved to Sunnydale. It's supposed to be sunny, and there's supposed to be men named Dale there. That's it.
Yeah. I will say, like, while I don't think Xander is super into this, Willow is thriving because she has now found her little hobby, her little part-time hustle of hacking. And she's really excited because they want to know more about Amber. They're like, okay, has she ever caught on fire before? Let's check her school records. And Hello's like, me, I will hack the school database.
Okay, this is what I find interesting. Like, we're saying that Willow is hacking. I think that she's just Googling, and this show is so old that they're like, this is one step away from witchcraft. It is master FBI hacker. And she's just like typing in like, town map.
Yes. Well, also Sarah,
like they're like, wow, you are a master hacker.
And here's the thing, Sarah. Okay. They're like, oh, we have to hack the school database. Giles is the librarian here. He has access to the school database. We know Giles is just the guy who does the poking. He pokes with his fingers, his like pointer fingers. Yeah. He doesn't type. And so Willow's like, excuse me, Giles, pushes him out of the way and does the straight up hands on the keyboard. You know, the GIF.
Yeah, she's so experienced with typing. She had that paper on the top of her hands, like, and she never looked at her hands when she typed. And I think that you're right. Like, I think that, like, Giles has the login information, and because she's not the person that's like Professor Giles, when she's like, I'm a hacker because I'm using somebody else's login information.
Well, she needs to be relevant, right? Like, she doesn't want to get kicked off the cool squad, the Slay squad. We need a name for the squad.
Let me specify and like clarify. Willow is 1001% relevant. Giles is 1001% relevant. Buffy is 2001% relevant.
These percentages
Xander is 0%.
He might be -5 because he almost didn't kill. He almost got killed by his friend that was a vampire. So he really is not helping anything. But yes, I totally agree. And this is where we also get like Xander and Willow like being very eager to help, and Buffy being like, but I don't want to put you in danger. Like, are you sure you want to be involved? And I love them both being like, yes. Like, they very quickly, I mean, the thing is, they barely know Buffy. She's like new girl in school. So I think both of them were just like looking for someone to attach themselves to like do something fun. Cause I don't think together they're doing anything fun.
No, nothing fun.
Yeah. So they're a team now. They're a squad, which we're going to need to name them at some point. But maybe the real world has a name for them already and we just don't know it. Is it like the Slayer squad or the...
I feel like that could be it, but it was my first initial thought too. So now I just feel like it's just too basic. So we need something more.
That's very fair. Yeah. We probably do need something better than that. And so then we get this like very interesting scene between Buffy and her mom, who we find out, I don't know if we knew this already, but her mom is an art dealer, and there's like tons of crates and stuff in the kitchen where she needs to like, she's having some kind of show, some kind of art display. So she needs to like get organized. She seems really busy and doesn't have a ton of time for Buffy to like have this conversation with her where she's talking about, cheerleading and all of that. Buffy seems like, at least in my opinion, she's trying to reach out to her mom in this moment. Like, I think she found out about Amy and her mom and how much time they spend together and how much Amy appreciates their relationship. And I think Buffy is like, maybe now is the time. Maybe now is the time for my mom and I to work on our relationship. But I don't know, Sarah, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I was getting the vibes from her mom of not only was she a little busy, right? She's like trying to do her art show stuff, but also it feels a little bit like her mom has kind of written her off a little bit in some ways.
Yeah, I definitely got some vibes in the sense, like, I even felt like she was blaming Buffy for the fact that they have to, like, pick up and leave.
She's brought up so many times in 3 episodes, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that there's some resentment there. I also think that she just, like, doesn't seem to have time for her at all, Buffy. And she's kind of being a little neglectful to her in the sense of, like, not really listening to her daughter. And I, like, I didn't like those vibes because, like, at first I thought that maybe she was just flighty. And now I just think that she just focuses mostly on work, probably because she's a single parent. Buffy actually mentions her father for the first time in this episode, that he left them. So we know that she's a single parent and she probably feels like she has to provide for the family and that that's her main priority and she just has to work, work, work. But like, I definitely felt that Buffy felt a little isolated by her mother. And then of course by her father who left them. So yeah. It was that a good little nugget to figure out like Buffy's home life, but I did feel bad with her. Like, even like not sharing, I don't know, like the fertility like statue. Like, wouldn't you want to be like telling your daughter a little bit about like, if it's so interesting to you, like maybe like she'll want to know about it. But I guess like it was like a big honking, like, I don't know.
I think she was, wasn't there like something where like, if she looked at it, she'd get pregnant or something weird like that? I thought they said something like that.
Well, I just think that I think it was like a little appropriate. Like, I think like the statue had a big dick or something.
Oh, that makes more sense. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, like I'm not trying to get on Buffy's mom's case because like, she's a single parent. She's like just moved to a new town. She started a new job. She has her first like big assignment. She's working really hard. So obviously she's a little distracted. Like, tell me how many times you get distracted when like someone's having a conversation with you, you know, like it happens.
Oh, I mean, I've already been distracted like 7 times since we started this.
Yeah, and it's only been 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so like, it's one of those things where I understand, especially if her mom has carried over frustration from everything going on with Buffy. And it seems like she's tried to reach out to Buffy, right? She's obviously trying. She's reading books on like how to parent. So she's not like given up.
I have a crazy concept. Instead of reading books on how to parent, how about you fucking parent, you idiot? How about that?
I just feel like anybody with half a brain cell could see that Buffy was trying to reach out in that moment, especially when she says like, oh, well, Amy's mom is apparently like really into it. Like, they train together for like 3 hours a day. And she's like, oh, it sounds like Amy's mom has nothing better to do. And I'm like, well, that's like, come on. Like, that's not obviously what Buffy is saying. Well, I feel like read between the lines a little bit.
Yeah. Well, her mom doesn't even know that she's like trying out for cheerleading. Like,
no, she wasn't even listening. Yeah. She's like, just keep plugging away. Like, it's, you could say that generic phrase to anybody.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, one other thing is I feel like we got a little bit of like the Buffy speak or Buffy talk people were talking about. When Buffy opens the crate, she goes, jeepers, which is very Scooby-Doo-ish.
Yeah, that's Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Buffy is like hilarious. She said something at another point in time. I have to like get the line, but it really tickled me.
There's a lot of those moments. I think there's another one when she's under the spell or something.
When she was under the spell, I was having a romp of a time. It was great. so fun.
Will and I were having my husband and I watched the show together, and we were having what exactly is happening to her with this spell? He thought that she couldn't lie at first, and I was like, I don't know, it just seems like she's very uninhibited. Like, she just says anything that comes to her mind. But it was really fun getting to see the different effects of the different spells. Speaking of which, we're at the next day, so the tryouts have continued because obviously the fire that happened was not great for tryouts. And so they were doing like a big group performance all together. And unfortunately, Amy smashes into Cordelia during tryouts. And stupid Cordelia is just like, oh, you saw that, right? That wasn't me. That was her.
I thought that the way that she did this line was so good. I was very interested in it. I kind of think it's so interesting that even though it is her mom in the body, because
no, Amy, not yet.
No, I think it is now. You don't
think no, but so? I don't think so. And the reason I don't think it's yet. And the reason I don't think it's yet is because she's very clumsy. And I think when it's her mom and we see her cheerleading in Amy's body, she knows all the moves. She's very coordinated. Mm. So I don't think the change happened yet. Because I also don't think that Amy would be having this conversation necessarily with Buffy if it was her mom.
You know what I mean? But like she was like talking shit about her dad and like would like called him ugly and like she was like saying, oh, my mom put herself through cosmetology school and never gained one single pound. And like, I don't know, like
that's a good point. Now I want to know if people know when the change happens, let us know, because I'm confused as to when it happens.
Yeah, she's like, she was the best and I can't even get my body to move like hers. And I think it's interesting because like maybe even though Amy's mom knows the moves because like Amy herself is not like as limber and like flexible. Like Amy's mom is frustrated because like she can't get Amy to move the same way that she did. But maybe you're right. Like maybe it isn't Amy's mom yet. I can't.
Yeah. It's hard to tell exactly when the change happens. Like I think we know when she turns blue, like obviously that's her mom at that point. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we know. It's hard to tell. I guess we'll keep talking and maybe we'll be able to pin it down. Cause this is one possibility where it already happened. And I do love, this is another thing I really liked about this episode was seeding in the nugget where Willow and Buffy are talking about Amy and her experience with her mom. And Willow says, oh, we used to hang out like a lot when we were kids. Her mom's like you said, an almond mom. And apparently she would go on broth kicks and Amy would come over to Willow's house and they would just eat a ton of brownies. And I love that being like a teeny tiny little nugget of like a character note, a little piece of information, so that later when we see quote unquote Amy's mom housing some brownies, we know it's not actually Amy's mom.
Oh, that is so smart.
Isn't it? It's so well done the way they did it.
It really is. It's like very, very subtle. So Amy is in the locker room and Cordelia comes up and like threatens her and is basically like, if I don't get squad, I will fucking murder you and you are dead. Were you scared?
Yeah. No, but like I thought this was like very far to go. Like, I mean, I understand doing that. I kind of expected her to do the thing where you walk by and you just like shoulder check someone into lockers and then be done with it. Yeah. But Cordelia went like a step further with it. And can I also just say, they really want us to hate Cordelia because they keep putting her in these lime green outfits that are so
I don't
hideous.
Know where you see this shit.
Let me see if you're sharing this
legit
scene. It might be later.
Wearing a She's wearing like a leopard
print. I'm sorry,
print.
It's leopard print. It's in the moment where she's already like hypnotized or has a spell. You'll see it. But yes,
also it's awful. In my head, keep calling her Charisma because that's the actress's name.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like Charisma is such a good name for like an evil villain bitch because it's like so ironic.
Yeah.
She has so much charisma, but she's a bitch. I don't know. I don't think I hate Cordelia. I think that like, yeah, like she's kind of somebody that I love to hate in a sense, or like hate to love, something like that. Like I kind of find her very entertaining because of how extreme she is. And I think that the actress does a really good job with her. So I enjoy
I enjoy hating her, especially I think in the next scene where they find out who made the team. And like for some reason, Xander goes in. No idea. Whatever. He needs to be the main character of his own story. Like he needs to be relevant. It's fine.
Everybody is the main character of their own story.
Well, he needs to be the main character of Buffy's story, I guess. So he goes up to the board and then Cordelia comes out and she looks at Amy and she goes, "You're lucky." And Amy's like, "Oh my gosh, I made it." And she's like, "No, I did." And I was like, "Oh shit, that actually was pretty good though."
Yeah, I mean, she's fun. Like she is like really, really fun. And I thought that throughout the episode, she's just like fun to watch. Also, ew, did you see the line that Xander said that Willow was one of the guys?
Yeah, I hated that. I hate most of what's happening with Xander, to be honest, because a lot of it is just like his obsession with Buffy and, "Oh my gosh, we're practically dating. She's wearing that bracelet." Mm-hmm. And Willow's like, "Yeah, but you're not hugging or kissing or acting like a couple." So
no. And I know that we got some comments about like, "Hey, you can't hate on Xander." When Xander does something that is not hate worthy, then I won't hate Xander anymore.
When okay? he does something worthy of giving him any credit.
Yeah.
Then I'll give him credit. Maybe this episode, but I don't think he does anything that amazing, actually. You know what? No, he actively takes away credit from women this episode, so there will be no compliments given to Xander.
Yeah, I'm not even, and I learned his name is Alexander, so he's a dweeb.
What? Okay.
Dweeb. So, just a dweeb.
Just
okay,
a dweeb.
So we are – and also – okay, so Buffy – and Amy didn't make squad. They are like third and fifth alternates, respectfully. And essentially, Xander doesn't know what that means and congratulated them on making the squad.
Yeah.
So such a foot and mouth situation. We are back at the Creepy Witch's house, and we see the Creepy Witch dunk a Cordelia-like doll in the green goop.
Yeah, with like a scrunchie covering its whole head, but basically its eyes to like blind it, I guess.
Would you drink this green goop?
No, it looks terrible. It looks like, and you know why? It also looks very soapy. I feel like they used soap to get the bubbles.
I mean, maybe it smells good. It kind of looks like it smells like lime or, I don't know. Maybe I kind of want to eat it. I don't know.
You not. Love lime jello, so maybe I that's do. Why. Maybe it's giving lime you lime jello because I hate, yeah. I'm not a big lime jello person.
Yeah. We have Buffy next morning with her mom. Her mom is basically telling her that she should sign up for yearbook and get involved in activities. And Buffy's like, "Only losers sign up for yearbook." Were you in yearbook?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then you're not a loser.
No, I somehow managed to avoid that.
Great.
But okay. Buffy's line of, "Mom, I've accepted that you've had sex. I'm not ready to know that you had Farrah hair," did kind of crack me up.
Farrah Fawcett had beautiful hair.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I don't know, Buffy. That might be like a bad take.
Yeah. But Buffy says that like, "Oh, the nerds pick on the losers who do yearbook." But, you know, her mom is basically trying to be like, "But you get all your pictures because you're the editor. Like you get to put all you and your friends like on the front. And like, this is like something you could do." And Buffy gets really upset and basically is like, "I'm not trying to be you, mom. Like I want to do my own things." Mm. So I don't know.
They're not jiving. Are you driving with the cupcake picture on Buffy's shirt?
Let me look at it again.
It's legitimately a picture of cupcakes.
I kind of hate it.
Printed on a white tank top. I don't get
it. It's pretty terrible. Yeah, it's really awful. And it's weird because it's like she's wearing, I don't know, this whole outfit is a little strange because she's just like a floral like thing tied around her waist and like pink shorts or something. This whole outfit is strange, but I don't mind the hair. The hair is very 90s.
Yeah, her hair looks great, but I mean, it looks like she got access to a like a printer that prints on t-shirts and it's just like clip art, nailed it on a shirt.
That's all I want. Cupcakes. Done.
Done. Love a cupcake. We see Cordelia, and she is in a weird daze today. She's not making fun of anybody. She is ignoring everybody. She looks like she's out to lunch.
She's like lost. Like she, like Buffy even says, like, is that even her locker that she's like trying to get into? She looks very dazed and confused wandering around.
Yeah. And I definitely knew that she got a spell put on her. I did not know to what capacity. We kind of follow Cordelia around all day, and like I said, she's in a bit of a daze. She goes to Driver's Ed, talking about cute clothes. This outfit is like the moment from Cordelia.
The green one?
Yeah, she looks so good.
No. Yeah. Okay. No, she is wearing, so she has this like green plaid looking
No. It's just a green shirt.
It's with ugly. Like,
no,
she's and wearing pinstriped pants.
You are butt lined. I don't know.
What?
I
think butt that lined? She, what does that mean?
Blind.
Oh, I thought you said you are butt lined.
No, blind. Okay, so she's in a daze.
No, Cordelia is the one who's blind.
Okay, maybe I'm blind. So, anyway, she is basically told that she has to take driver's ed class with other students in the back seat, and she starts driving, and she's like
she does protest a little bit, but like in a very hazy way, like if she's like has brain fog or something.
Yeah, I feel as though she's saying that she does not feel well. The driver's ed teacher should probably listen to her. We also know learn that Cordelia has failed the driver's test twice already.
So incredible.
That's embarrassing. So she starts moving and driving, but then she like just starts wiling out in the car.
This is wild. And luckily Buffy is there because she sees like Xander and Willow in the hallway. And as Xander is trying to ask her out, Buffy instead is like, I'll talk to you later. Follows Cordelia. So she sees all of this happening. And luck, like, this is insane. So Cordelia ends up, she like crashes the car. Everyone's getting out. Cordelia ends up in the middle of the street with so much time before this big truck hits her that Buffy has time to sprint, jump on a car, and shove Cordelia out of the way.
Yeah. And we don't really know what's happening. Like, we're like, is this a daze? Like, what is she doing? It turns out she got blinded by this spell, and we see her eyes, and they are white. And it is.
Oh, it's so creepy and cool, though.
It's creepy. It's pretty cool. She's like, what is happening? I can't see anything. She's blind. She got blinded by the spell. Poor Cordelia, not for nothing. Her life has been turned upside down. She almost got sucked out by a vampire. She barely made the cheerleading squad, and now she's blind.
She's really going through it ever since Buffy got here, but also she'd be dead if Buffy weren't around to push her out of the way. True. And so, yeah, it's just very strange, like, what's happening. And so then we're back in the library where we have the Slayer squad assembled, and Giles is like, oh, it's witchcraft. Like, you're blinding your enemy. You're going to disorient them. It's classic. And I love Xander saying, first vampires, now witches. No wonder you can still afford a house in Sunnydale.
No, I mean, for real.
Nowadays, a house in Sunnydale would be through the roof expensive.
Exactly. $100,000 over asking price, but at least you have a really close portal to hell.
Yeah. And Willow gets a stick ass burn where they're like, oh, why would someone want to do this to Cordelia? And Willow's like, oh, maybe because they met her.
That was a stick ass burn, Willow. Loved that. Good one. Good one. So now we have Buffy does this whole like projecting her mommy issues onto Amy, where she's like, I know what's happening. She is a witch, and she is just trying to make her mom proud for her to make the cheerleading squad. And because her mom doesn't pay attention to her, so she's projecting. And then Willow does her hacking, which is just looking up who is renting library
books. This cracked me up so much. So Giles is like, wait a minute. You're telling me a witch is doing this because of cheerleading? Like, he can't believe it. And everyone's like, yes. Willow does this search to see who's taking out witchcraft books. And it turns out it's Xander doing it.
Yeah, because there's like nudie pics.
What a nasty little perv. Again, please listen. If you love Xander, I don't get it. But like, you can't force us to like him when this is the kind of shit he's up to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Watch porn like a normie person. Don't rent out library books with witchcraft because maybe they flash a nipple every once in a while.
Yeah. Weirdo. I mean, that's like, I mean, I guess it's a smidge better than just getting the anatomy books, but
well, I'm just saying, like, I understand this is the 90s and we don't have such easy access to porn like we all do now.
Because in the 90s, literally the only purpose for the internet was
porn.
Google and
porn. Also talk to Willow. She can hack anything. She'll tell you the good porn.
She can't hack anything. She can just go into the school's library system. Apparently that's hacking. That's not it's hacking. So she's just in the search engine for the school. So Giles is like, you know what we need to do? We need to cast our own potion.
This and cracked me up. We need to so much.
It's like they decide that they need to create a potion to find the witch. And by doing so, like, I don't know, you need like an ionude and like hydrogen peroxide and I don't know what else.
You need, basically, this is the funniest part of this thing, is they're like, oh, everything we need is in the science lab. Aces. Yeah. Great. So they're like, okay, this is what we need. So then they pull like a little heist moment where like Xander and Willow are prepping everything. And apparently Eye of Newt and Eye of Frog are identical because they have like a, luckily everyone had lab today, including Amy. Luckily they were dissecting frogs today. So they had an Eye of Frog to use.
Okay. So this is the confusing thing. Biology, where you dissect frogs, it's biology class.
Yes.
Then why are these people doing chemistry lab?
No one knows. For the plot.
For the plot.
For the plot. That's why.
Is no teacher being like, hi guys, like you actually don't need the beaker today. You just need the frog.
Yeah, everyone else just starts doing things. But the best, okay, so what I thought was going to happen, because Buffy ends up, so Buffy is on hair patrol. She has to get the hair, right? And Buffy takes it out of a hairbrush. And I thought we were going to get a little hinky situation where Amy lent her brush to someone else. Mm. And so it wasn't going to be her hair, but it was much more simple than my brain needed to be.
Yeah, it was Amy's hair. And the spell, the potion is blue. And the thing is, if you spill it on the witch and her skin turns blue, then she's the witch. But I just feel like the potion was blue.
No, the potion was clear. And it's when you spill it on the witch that it turns blue. And okay. So they have to, Buffy has to accidentally spill it on Amy. But like, girl, that was such an obvious spill that I can't even.
Yeah, acid burns in the lab are no joke. But as she's doing this, this other cheerleader that made the squad, I guess the second alternate or somebody.
Yeah.
She loses her mouth. She just, her mouth is nowhere to be found.
Yeah, this was really funny because, again, like we know, again, this is the 90s and they're using prosthetics. So it's very obviously like a flap of skin that they just put over this girl's mouth. But I would want to be that actress. That seems awful to have that, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's freaking out because it's like muffled screaming, which is so just like eerie and creepy. And I love how no one gets sent home from school. They're just like, on with our day.
They're like, this is kind of weird anyway. Like, please dissect the heart and remove it. And Amy looks pretty freaked out. So Buffy is pretty convinced that Amy is the witch because they got confirmation from the
blue. She's our Sabrina.
But she thinks that Amy is doing this like unintentionally. Like,
she's like, we should go talk to her mom because we don't know how involved her mom is. I like Buffy's instincts. Makes sense.
Bad.
No, her instincts to be like, the mom is the red flag.
No, that's not what she was. No, they were like, no. I guess they're like, what were the point? Like, what's the point? Like, she's like, hey, mom, like, or Amy's mom, like, did you know that your daughter's a witch?
I mean,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Because maybe and witches create witches. We don't know the science.
So that's kind of the plan. But we see Amy come home, and we should have known because Amy's gate has a literal devil on it. House looks like a place of witches live, and she is very mean to her mom, who is just sitting there and minding her own business.
Well, that's because that's her mom now.
I know. And Amy's like, write my paper, like you better do my homework.
Yeah.
And she's like, I am just trying to make the cheerleading squad, and Buffy and her friends are stealing my hair.
Yeah. And we see she drops a bracelet into the cauldron that says yours always. So already this bracelet is horrific for Buffy.
Yeah, such bad news for Buffy. And Amy's mom looks shook. So at this point in time, like, did you think that Amy was the evil one?
I was like full on like, oh my gosh, they wanted us to think Amy was so nice, but she's awful. They hoodwinked me.
Yeah, I think that this is where I had the flash of like, maybe there was a switch. But like I said, I got distracted because the fun came.
Yeah. I had a flash of like, I thought Amy's mom was the witch, but that was before Amy came home and was mean to her mom. And then I was like, oh, wait, I was wrong. It's Amy. So I had the flickering thought way early in the episode of like, oh, she's trying to help her daughter become a cheerleader. But no, she's trying to help herself become a cheerleader.
Now we have Buffy come down, and she is the life of the party. I've never seen Buffy so happy. She is singing
Macho Man.
I want to be a macho man. And she sees her mom is making fresh squeezed juice. And I love when Sarah Michelle Gellar is like, ooh, juice. And she drinks the juice. And then she finishes the juice. And then she sees the juice. And then she's like, ooh, juice. It was very, very entertaining.
And I also love, like, again, more Buffy speak where she's like, oh, that was totally yester. Like,
it was yester. You're right.
So yester. And the thing is, Buffy, again, with no filter seemingly, she's like, I'm so wacky. And she's like, what were you to do? Like, you just don't get it. You don't understand the life of a vampire slayer. Mm. And we're like, what the fuck? Because very obviously, like, her mom doesn't, like, think she's playing around or something. Like, her mom's not taking this seriously. But I thought the reveal to Buffy's mom was not going to be into, like, a second season or a third season.
Buffy's mom doesn't even listen to her legitimately. Yeah. Like, this makes me just feel like Buffy tried to tell her mom 9,000 times that she's a vampire slayer, and her mom just doesn't listen to her or take her seriously.
Yeah, I totally agree. So it doesn't seem like this is going anywhere. You know what I mean? This is not like the big reveal because Buffy's mom didn't take it seriously at all.
No, doesn't seem to be so. Oh, freaking Buffy's mom. Just listen to your daughter. She's telling you what's going on. You just don't care.
Macho man.
Yeah, well, that's what Buffy cares about. Just macho man. She's macho manning it up all damn day.
Yeah. And so then they're like doing now. So now she's actually on the cheer squad. Right. And so she's doing her like practice or whatever, but she's like really into it. Like, pumping and kicking higher than anybody else and is like, turn up the music.
Yeah, she looks like she's having the best day of her life. And she sees Xander and Willow and she's like, hi, there's my friends. Hi, friends. There's my friends. And the head cheerleader is like very over her because she's not paying attention. She's being too wacky. And the game is 4 hours away. It's so much pressure.
Well, and she chucks a fellow cheerleader across the gym.
Oh, yeah. Her super strength showed. And she basically got, like, taken away because she's just, like, too peppy. And I think Xander and Willow knew right away that she was the next target. And there was something off here.
They're like, she's on medication. We're just going to take her.
And the head cheerleader was like, maybe she needs more.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, who's our next alternate? And everyone looks at Amy and we're like, oh, shit, she got what she wanted.
Good for Amy, because you know what? Sometimes you get what you want and sometimes you have to take what you want. And Amy just took what she wanted. Now she's part of the team and hopefully everybody is safe now because Amy got what she wanted and all she wanted was to be a cheerleader. What a win for Amy.
Amy gets what she wants and Buffy is dragged out by Willow and Xander. And she's really acting like pretty drunk. Like that's what it seems like. And so she's just like, oh, you're my Xander shaped friend. And you want to know why I love you so much. And Xander is like, yeah, baby, tell me more. And Buffy's like, cause you're just like one of the girls.
Which I love because he told Willow that Willow was like one of the guys. So...
yeah. How does it feel to be friend zoned, jerk?
Yeah. So I thought that was great. And she basically is just like mouthing off about Xander, but she's starting to feel really sick. So of course they bring her not to the doctor, but to Giles.
Not. Why to a hospital? To the librarian. Yeah, naturally. You gotta
bring her to the librarian.
The watcher.
And he says that, oh yeah, he says that this is a bloodstone vengeance curse and eradicates the immune system. So she's about to be dead.
Basically, yeah. And so they're like, listen, they, you know, obviously there's only, they only have, he's like, oh, how much time do we have? Oh, just 3 hours. You're going to be dead in 3 hours. And so he says, we have to reverse the spells. And in order to do that, they have to get a hold of Amy's spell book. So, it's like, oh, but the other way we could do it if needed is we could just chop off Amy's head and be done with it.
That's a good idea.
Perfect. Simple.
Nailed it. Yeah.
But no, they're going to go the route of trying to get the spell book. And so they're like, okay, well, she needs a space to do these, like have her cauldron and do these spells and all of that. And they're like, okay, we have to go to her house. And so Buffy's like, oh, I'm just going to go. And it's just like, Buffy, you were literally just laid out on a table like 2 seconds ago. Don't you think you can send someone else?
Buffy, you're not well. But no. Also, she has nobody else to rely on. So she does have to go.
Yeah. And so they go over to the house and Buffy with her keen little eye notices that Catherine is Amy's mom has like a plate full of brownies and Buffy immediately just knows exactly what's going on.
Such a good catch. And at first, Catherine, Amy's mom, is very, I guess like she like refuses a little bit or she like plays along.
I think because she just doesn't know them well enough. Well, you know? She's afraid.
Scared.
Yeah. She's afraid of her mom and she's like, she's going to catch you. Like, what is she going to do? And yeah, like she says like, oh, ever since, you know, dad left, she's been out of her mind. Like, yeah. And so, yeah, she switched bodies because she wanted to relive her glory days. And this was really sad to me when Amy's mom, who we now know is Amy, says like, oh, she said I was like wasting my youth. Mm. And that is so tragic for like a mother to tell her daughter like, oh, you're wasting your youth. That's awful.
Yeah, so her mom like took over her body. And I still don't know if I have clarity about when it all started, but
I don't really know because I think you made good points about the first conversation with like Amy and Buffy. I feel like you made really solid points of like, no, this sounds like her mom. But we also don't see, we see some of the cauldron things happening, but the only ones we really see are like the Cordelia and the Buffy one, I thought. So I don't really know when it happened, unless we missed something.
We could have been. So eventually her mom like admits it. And I think that they are pretty much deciding about like, you have to come and switch back. Like she's out of control. Yeah. And her mom seems to be, or Amy seems to be agreeable, probably because she knows that like her mom is evil and is.
And she's promised that like Giles can help switch them back.
So how?
Well, with the spell
anybody book. Can do magic. Oh, you just need the spell book.
That's what it seemed like Giles was saying. Like there is a specific spell book he needs to be able to cast a spell to reverse everything, like a counter spell, if you will.
Okay, all right. Anybody can be magic in this world.
Well, Giles does say, I think after he casts it, that he was like he seemed very proud of himself because he's like, I've never done that before. So I think it is tough, but Giles just has enough of the background knowledge of all this other stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So they find the book and they find all the creepy dolls and everybody has like a lot of clarity. And but also Buffy's still dead. Like she's dying.
Well, that's the weird thing is I felt like it was kind of strange at how how she went from like literally couldn't even stand up on her own with like a washcloth on her forehead to then being okay enough to go and visit. But then she's like dying again. It was like a bit of a like, wow, she really rallied to go to Amy's house.
She really tried and then it took a lot out of her. So now she is about to be dead again. And Giles starts working in the lab again on the witchcraft. and trying to reverse the spell, because like he's trying to reverse all the spells so that Cordelia can have her eyes back and that other cheerleader can have her mouth back and everybody can feel good. And all the while the game is on and fake Amy, evil Amy, gets to perform and live out her glory days.
And she really is enjoying it. And like I was, this is why I had thought that like the other version wasn't her mom, because of how seemingly coordinated Amy is here. But again, tough to tell, you know, it is, it's a bit tricky to really discern. And like, as this is happening, Giles, real Amy, and Buffy are in like the lab because Giles is like, I've got this. And you know what? I'm just going to say, Giles, if you have someone who's like ill and under duress, don't put them on a table that's directly underneath light. Like, give them a little bit of shade. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's probably so nauseous. Also, it was very funny seeing real Amy practically gagging at dissecting the frog. Just like an interesting juxtaposition between fake Amy dissecting the frog from earlier in the episode. And they're doing their spells and it's working. And fake Amy is like starting to feel the effects go into force. And eventually, like, oh, she gets to be on top of the pyramid. How exciting. That is the glory days.
But well, that's why I also thought it was kind of silly, because, like, I know they did it because it's the show and she needs to be at, like, the top and for the drama. But I was like, dang, like, new girl Amy getting top of the pyramid, like, first time out. Look at her go.
I know. It doesn't seem likely, but she falls because she knows,
Yeah, he's basically like,
shit is going down.
He's like casting the spell. And like, because of that, like, Amy is going back to her own body and Amy's mom is going back to her own body, which unfortunately allows, she should have closed her eyes, honestly. Amy in her mom's body should have closed her eyes, because then she wouldn't have known where to run.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're connected. Willow tries to distract her and she's like, hey, like, I can help you with your witch stuff. How,
loved
Willow,
this, loved
how
this
can you help her with the witch stuff?
I'm a hacker.
I've researched it. But she punches out Willow, chokes out Xander from far away, and goes to...
By the way, the punch to Willow... Again, I'm going to say it one more time. The punch noises on this show are so fun. They're so, it's like, pchoom.
Yeah, so it's extra. so 90s, but in the best way possible.
Yeah, it really is. And so, like, unfortunately, valiant effort by the B squad, but they didn't get it done.
No. So Amy's trying to get into the lab. She gets punches out the fire axe and then starts like axing down the door.
Loved this.
Very like Jax from Titanic trying to save. Wait, no, Kate. Kate Winslet is like chopping out the door. Remember? With the axe?
It's been a long time. I know Titanic, but mostly because of the door drama.
Yeah. You know? So like, Amy was about to chop Buffy's head off, but they switch bodies, and then, like, everyone's fighting with the axes, and long story short, Amy is back into her body, the mom is back into her body, and the mom is about to cast a evil spell to banish Buffy, or banish Amy.
Banish Buffy, I think it was.
And it, like, ricochets off from, like, a mirror. And then she gets zapped away.
Yeah, because she says, well, actually, maybe she was saying it to her daughter. Yeah, she was saying it to her daughter, because she does say, like, I'm going to put you where you can, like, never cause trouble again. And so this is the, Buffy makes it ricochet so that it casts a spell on herself, basically. And she, like, just disappears. And we're like, oh, shit. Okay. Yeah. And I have to say, now we'll have to debate this the way the episode ends, but do you think this is the end of Amy's mom, or are we going to see her come back at some point?
I feel as though, like, maybe in the future, but I also wouldn't be afraid. It feels very like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Where there was always, like, some sort of, like, creepy crawly ending at the end where, like, the person's, like, not really gone. They're really there, because we see Buffy and Amy talking at the trophy stand and being like, oh, I haven't seen my mom in a while. I'm living with my dad now. Things are like really good. Like I can like eat what I want, do what I want. And like, I feel so free. And then like the last shot, and it's once again, like pretty cheese, but in a really fun way, because the trophy of her mom like has like spooky eyes where she like moves the eyes.
She's
trapped in the trophy. And I mean, I don't know. Like, what do you think? Do you think that we're going to see Catherine?
No, I think this is just a monster of the week sort of thing. Like, I don't think we're going to see her come back. Like, totally could happen. And I would be interested in what storyline they would do. Honestly, I'm more interested in if Amy is going to be a character still. Like, are we going to, because Buffy and Amy seem like they were like getting along, right? And I loved, it's kind of subtle, but when we next see Amy, after we find out that she's living with her dad and she's much happier, she can eat whatever she wants. She's also dressed very differently.
Oh, yeah.
She looked much less like girly, much less prim and proper, much more like a grunge sort of aesthetic. And I was very here for it because I was like, yes, girl, like she feels like she could be herself now. And I loved that for her.
That's nice. But the outfit was still very ugly. So maybe she does need to be possessed by her mom to look good.
No.
Yeah, I'm serious.
No.
It was so bad.
By comparison, I thought it was really interesting that we got another Buffy and her mom scene where her mom I didn't think this was like a great showing for her mom, where she says like, oh, there's like, I think it's because you're 16, like there's a reason I can't understand you, and that's because I'm not 16. And Buffy asks like, oh, do you ever wish you could be 16 again? And she says, oh God, going through all that again, not even if it helped me understand you. And I was like, girl, you could have just said no. Like, you could have just said no. Why did you have to add the other part?
This just backs up my theory that moms are overrated.
It's awful. Like, all she had to say was like, no, being a teenager is really difficult. And that's why, like, I understand you, like, you're going through a tough time. Instead, she says, no, not even if it would help me understand you better. And I know she didn't say it in that way.
It's supposed to be like 90s funny.
I know, but Buffy doesn't seem upset by it, right? Like, she loves that answer because her mom isn't Amy's mom. And so she like gives her a little kiss and she walks out. And her mom's like, I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah. That line was very Clarissa explains it all.
Yeah, it was. But I thought this episode did such a good job at not, because a general formulaic monster of the week doesn't always have good character beats built in. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I had such a better understanding of Buffy and her mom's complex relationship than I did at the start of the episode. You know what I mean? Like, obviously we knew they didn't get along super well, but I thought showing her mom to be kind of distant and kind of like not really know how to engage with her daughter was really interesting. And correct me if I'm wrong, but we don't know, like, we just know Buffy's dad isn't around. Like, did he leave? I can't remember.
I thought she said in this episode, my dad left me too.
Okay, so maybe he left, but we don't know the story behind that either.
No.
So,
and I could have misheard, but I thought that was what she had said.
But this, I have to say, I think this is my favorite episode of the three because it had less exposition, you know, like we already know the deal. Let's jump right in.
Yeah. I thought that was because there's a witchy element and I like witchies.
There's a mystery element too. Like we didn't exactly know who the witch was.
I like that. I like that. It felt very like, I said before, like the stakes were very teen-like. Like, we need to be a witch so that we make the cheerleading squad. A+. Love that. Yeah. I love like the fact that like in a teenager's mind, well, actually she was an adult, but anyway, like making the cheerleading squad is the most important thing. Like, I can get behind that like stupid type of like reasoning to put a spell on all the other potential cheerleaders.
Yeah. I really loved it. Like, yeah, to exactly what you said. And like the fact that Giles was like, this is preposterous. Like, this cannot be the reason why witchcraft is happening. I thought was really funny because you have like he wouldn't understand. You know what I mean?
No,
and I thought that was great.
But like a teenager would. They'd be like, yeah, of course. Like, have to do it. Like, we have to.
Yeah.
Meet the cheerleading squad. It's life or death. Because when you're a teen, like, everything is life or death.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, love it. Love this episode. Really enjoyed it. Do we have, like, other people loving this episode, too? Oh,
we have so much feedback from Buffy. Again, shout out to you all for sending in feedback. I adore getting it and reading it every week. It's just, it's like such a really, it's a fun treat. So we got an email from Lily, and Lily said that she was going through our Dawson's Creek catalog and just realized we started Buffy. And so she said she wanted to drop some spoiler-free tidbits. And she said, Sarah, she shouted out you specifically, Sarah, do not let any snobby Buffy fans shame you about Twilight. Yeah. And I say this as a snobby Buffy fan, but one with the self-awareness to know that there's no moral high ground here when it comes to supernatural melodrama. I do think Buffy is higher quality, but there are a lot of shared tropes here, from Anne Rice to Buffy to Vampire Diaries to True Blood to Twilight, and it's fine for one over the other. But for God's sake, some Buffy fans need to live and let live.
Okay, love that. I love the beef against, like, vampire people. It's just like... it's just like how the needle pointers are like big ops with the cross stitchers.
Are they really? Is there a feud there?
That's fun. And the embroiderers, like, they all hate each other.
But they're also, not to be rude, they're all kind of similar. They're
But why would you say that? That's exactly like saying, like, a Buffy fan is just like a Twilight fan is just like a Vampire Diaries fan.
Well, there could be someone who is like just a fan of vampires and so consumes a ton of vampire media.
Yeah, I think I talked about this, but I was giving out those Twilight books like I was like a mob boss. Like,
you were the library.
I was like, you want to read Twilight? And I would like lend them out to everybody. Yeah. It was a moment in time. I think I hope I still have them. I had like the really nice hardback books. I think that the movies ruined it for me a little bit because
Renesmee was horrifying looking.
Well, that's my secret. Like, I never saw the second part of Breaking Dawn.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen it, to be honest. I think I've told you this before, that I saw, maybe it was the second one, my best friend, it was like her birthday and she was dying to see it. And she's like, will you come with me? And I was like, okay, sure. But I don't even know anything about it. Mm. I hadn't read the books. I didn't know. I knew like what the general population knew about it, you know? And
no, hold on. Adam just said we're watching Breaking Dawn tonight. I don't want to watch Breaking Dawn part 2 tonight. Wow,
good luck. Have fun with that. But Lily also continued and said, you'll get people dragging season 1 a lot, which is a peeve for me when fans try to get newbies into the show. Yeah, I do think the series gets stronger and stronger, but season 1 is great. It's campy and fun and does a great job of getting you invested in the characters. And there are a few episodes that will definitely give you a clue as to just how insane this series will get. So that's really exciting to hear. And like, I mean, the thing is, if we're enjoying season 1 as much as we are, which I think I can say for both of us, like, it's, we're both enjoying it, that's great to know that like it only gets better, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, so, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. We do have other feedback that I want to get to. We also heard from Tracy, and Tracy sent in a little bit of a corrections corner. She said that the Buffy film is, that we don't necessarily need to watch the Buffy film. The Buffy TV show is basically a direct reaction to Joss Whedon hating the film. He wrote it as a newbie and it got taken away from him. And the TV series was him trying to do it the way he actually wanted to from the start.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, this isn't to say the movie's not fun or that you shouldn't watch. By all means, go for it. But Buffy writers have straight out admitted that when they were hired for the show, they were told not to watch the film. So it does like connect vaguely to the movie, but not, you know, not meant to be relevant to the TV series.
Yeah, I think that didn't Todd, our friend Todd, say something along the lines of like she did not burn down the gym at the end of the movie?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Listen, we don't know. It's fine. We'll probably end up watching the film at some point as like a between seasons sort of thing or something.
Yeah.
And we also got an email from David saying that they're really excited to go through this Buffy watch with us. They have a unique perspective because they never watched Buffy before, but have seen almost every episode of Angel, which is fascinating, right? Because it's a spinoff.
How did you fall into that?
I know, so they said, I got into Angel watching the reruns as it would come on after Charmed reruns every morning while I was in college. I've got a good understanding of the world it's set in because of that, but I don't have any idea where the story progresses. I'm loving the podcast and can't wait to listen to next week's episode. So that's really fun. So I cannot wait to hear more from David, especially regarding Angel when we get, because we actually, that was a good thing. We didn't see any Angel this episode.
Which blew.
Oh, you wanted, yeah, you wanted more.
Yeah, I want to see David Boreanaz at least once an episode.
Maybe he can't set grounds on the school. Or he's saying can't foot on the school grounds is what I mean.
Mm-hmm. There's like a blockage.
Maybe.
An invisible barrier.
Invisible barrier. He's not allowed.
Mm, okay.
Plus he's a stranger and he's, you know, too old to be just wandering around
school. Aren't we all strangers?
Remember the principal closes the gates and he's like, no one in or out, bitch. This is jail.
That's true.
Yeah. And then we also, last but not least, we got an email from Justin saying that he was one of the, I'm sure, a million or more people suggesting we go through Buffy. And he says he hadn't watched it either until just randomly one day he chose to watch it and it became one of his favorite shows. And he said, don't worry about not liking other characters that others might like. I, for one, am not the biggest fan of both Buffy and Angel.
What? Then who do you like?
I know. Now I want to know. Justin, let us know who your favorite character is.
Justin is like full on Darla.
Yeah, he's like, it's like Darla is the main character in my story. And he said, I do have a slight bone to pick. When sexy daddy Giles speaks, you listen. One does not fall asleep when that sexy man speaks.
I'm supposed to find Giles sexy?
Apparently. Right. Justin does.
You know what? The thing is that Giles talks about like crusty history. Like
the thing is he's an adult and he's like obviously very, you know, knowledgeable. And so whatever he says is gonna sound a bit like the Charlie Brown teacher to the kids in school.
Okay, so you know what I was thinking? I was thinking like, how old is this actor that plays Giles at this moment? And I was fucking A, I'm probably older than this dude.
No, how old is he? Did you look it up?
No, I didn't look it up, but like I would guarantee that this man is like 31 and he just looks like 90s old, but he's not really old.
Yeah, he's 90s old where it's like you see parents and they act and look like they're like 45, but realistically they're really young.
Giles, okay, let's see if I can do this really quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe in you.
Okay, wait. What's his name? Played by Anthony Head, mm-hmm. right? Is that his name?
He's
69 years old.
Oh, nice.
Uh-huh.
Now you're going to have to do math.
I am. So if he – what's – what
2023 year? Minus 60 – wait, no. What am I doing?
But you have to – what year did this come out? 1997?
What year did Buffy start?
1997. So he was 26. No. Just that was 26 years ago. Now I go 69 minus.
You're making it more complicated. 26. Okay.
He was 43. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, well, then you're, oh my God, you're nowhere near as old as he was in this.
No, but I just kind of felt like he was younger than I thought.
He was secretly young.
Yeah.
No, he's not. Justin also says that Buffy coined the term big bad, which is interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's kind of fun.
That's fascinating.
And so he's going to be rewatching along with us. And he apologized for the length of the email, but I just want to throw it out there that no one ever has to apologize for sending us in a long email because we really appreciate any time you take literally 2 seconds to write anything to us.
And so, we read all of it, even if we don't put it.
Yes. We always read everything that's sent to us.
Yeah.
So thank you everybody for sending in feedback. Of course, if you want to do that, shit90spod.com, you can send us in a voicemail or a message, shit90spod@gmail.com if you want to send us in a long form email, and shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram if you want to just send us a little message on there. Mm-hmm. Sarah, would you like to know the name of next week's episode?
Yes.
So we've got Teacher's Pet.
Wow.
So what are we? Oh, what if this is a werewolf episode? like teacher's pet.
You are so obsessed with werewolves. You gotta get over it.
It makes sense. I'm saying, okay, first of all, this episode was called Witch, and Witch was there. Teacher's pet literally could be the teacher's pet is like, oh, it's his pet. It's a werewolf.
Okay. No. Well, only time will tell.
Well, what do you think it is?
The teacher is evil. They hired an evil teacher.
Wouldn't be the first time in our run on Shit 90 Shows taught me of an evil teacher. It's pretty commonplace, actually. An
evil, rapey teacher.
Yeah. So that's next week. And of course, we're now to the point where we've gotten our footing underneath us, right? Like we're jiving with Buffy. We know what's going on. We know the characters' names. We're ready. Now it's Guestapalooza. So next week is the start of our Guestapalooza, where we're going to have a guest almost every single episode for all of season one, starting with our friend Melissa. So I'm really excited to have her on next week and get all of her thoughts on Badass Buffy.
Faboo. I can't wait.
Yes. In the meantime, we're also covering Felicity, which comes out on Mondays. If you want to check that out, now's a good time to jump in because we're only like halfway through season one and it's getting juicy. So now is an excellent time to hop onto Felicity. And of course, it's also Jam in January, where we covered Empire Records. And very shortly, we're going to be putting out coverage of That Thing You Do. So check that out. I haven't seen that movie yet. I've never seen it. So I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
Yeah. So beyond that, you can find me at the Jess Sterling and over on Pusher Recaps. Sarah, what about you?
You can just find me at Sarah Ferguson. I'm mainly sticking to Shit Any Shows Taught Me and all of our projects here. And it's great. Everything's great.
Yeah. So that's where you can find us. Until next week, we will talk to you all then. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.